and welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast, where the gospel is the point. Welcome, I am your host, Kevin Thompson. Thanks for joining us. And if you are a nerd, this is the podcast for you. We are going to geek out today on Star Trek. And we have a great interview here for you. But first, we're going to get to our Twitter poll, which, of course, has to do with Star Trek this week. And this one, we didn't receive a whole lot of votes on this one. So the results are kind of skewed. But anyway, let's get to the question. Best version of Star Trek. What's the best version of Star Trek? You have the following options. The original crew, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, or The Enterprise with Scott Bakula. And the winner was The Next Generation. The Next Generation getting 100% of the very few people who voted in this poll, unfortunately. But I'm going to disagree with all 100%, both of you, and go with the original crew. There's nothing like the original. The Next Generation was cool, but I'm sorry, I gotta go with Kirk and Spock and Bones and everybody there, Scotty. That's pure Star Trek to me, and it always will be. But anyway, you can follow our Twitter polls at Kevin J. Thompson, and you can see all my various tweets and whatnot at Kevin J. Thompson. Okay, let's get to Star Trek, because we're talking about the original crew today, and we're talking about Kevin C. Nisa's book about Star Trek from a Christian worldview. He's going to have a series of these books, and he's starting off with the original crew. And so I want to jump right into this interview here with Kevin C. Nisa, and we're going to geek out on some Star Trek. All right, I am joined live via Skype. Actually, we're not live, but recorded live via Skype with Kevin C. Nisa. Kevin, welcome to the Gospel Points Podcast.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me, and may I congratulate you on your first name.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation between two Kevins and two nerds. I can probably say that as well. We're going to be kind of geeking out here on this podcast. We're going to be talking about Star Trek. Kevin's book, of course, is all about Star Trek. So just tell us a little bit about your relationship with Star Trek, how you became a fan, and give me an estimate of how much memorabilia you have, even within just a couple of feet or so.
Well, I've actually pretty limited on my actual memorabilia. I usually invest actually more in like Blu-rays and books. And I don't have all the posters up at my house now that I had when I was growing up. Nor do I have my action figures out. I need to figure out how to do that. I would like to have a display of my action figures, my Christmas ornaments, all that stuff. But I started with Star Trek right around the 25th anniversary, right around 91 was probably – well, no, that's not true. I started with Star Trek before that. I started really with the Next Generation in 87. I had seen some episodes of the original series on television, and I remember thinking it was kind of hokey. And yet, for some reason, I was super excited when The Next Generation was coming out. Mm. I remember they had this ad on the back of the Cheerios box where you could win a walk-on role on Next Generation, and I wanted to do that so badly. And I don't know why, but I just did. And I was really excited about Star Trek from the beginning. So I started as a next-gen kid, and then it was in 91 that I really got into the original crew films. And went to see Star Trek VI in the theaters, and I just was big in that for a really long time. The book came about from a gap in my Star Trek fandom, though, because when I was in senior in high school, and all there were like three Star Trek series on television, and I was missing episodes, and this was before DVRs and all that. I got behind, and I didn't want to not view things in order, so I just kind of quit watching. And I really kind of dropped out of Star Trek, except for the films, for a lot of years. And then after Insurrection, I started wondering if I wanted to keep watching the films. There was kind of a dry period in there. And that was when I went through what I call my worldview conversion process, where I started seeing everything in a new way, thanks to my philosophy professor. And when I came back to Star Trek, I saw it with these new eyes. And that started the whole journey of the Undiscovered Country Project and the Gospel According to Star Trek.
I know we are talking about your book, The Gospel According to Star Trek, and we're going to come back to that title. But before we get there, we got to geek out a little bit here and get some basic questions about Star Trek out of the way.
Yeah.
So we can get to some more serious stuff.
You got to make sure you understand my philosophical grounding before we proceed in the conversation. I get that. That's great.
We got to see your Star Trek your Trekkie purity here.
Yeah.
Before we really get into whether we're going to believe you about anything else you have to say.
Good.
Okay. Perfect way to put it. The current series of movies. You feel like that's being faithful to the original series, or do you think they're taking too many liberties? We see some different timelines going on here, but basically, is it faithful?
I think for the first and third movies, yes. For the second movie, no. the second movie was just a real misstep. Really, in my opinion, a very poorly written film. It's on the bottom of the pile of Star Trek movies for me. But the first and third films are two of my favorite Star Trek movies. Star Trek Beyond garnered the longest chapter in the book. Sorry, I'm not supposed to talk about the book yet. But I love the new series. I love when it's right. Yeah.
Well, I get to admit, I haven't seen,
and I'm looking forward to Star Trek Discovery too. I can't wait.
I haven't seen a Beyond yet, but I agree with you about the second movie. I mean, it kind of takes the search for Spock and just completely upends it. I wasn't very comfortable with that ending or anything. Anyway,
it's a mess.
I asked that question because my dad is the guy who got me into Star Trek. And I don't think my dad has ever liked any reboot of any movie that ever existed at all. doesn't matter. Whatever. We have fights about the A-Team. I like the A-Team movie. He hated it. And he also hates the new Star Trek movies. I enjoy them. Anyway, all right. Second question having to do with Star Trek. Just recently, I was on a Facebook poll. And I didn't really like this, but I want to get your thoughts on this. The poll had to do with the worst Star Trek characters. They named Wesley from The Next Generation as the absolute worst. I disagree. Where are you?
I disagree as well. I understand why he irritates people, but you know, of course, Gene came passionately to Wesley's defense on many occasions. He got livid. He would actually when he'd hear things about Wesley, people talking bad about Wesley at a convention, he would actually get angry with the fans, which that's a rare thing for Gene. But you know, Wesley was Gene. I mean, that was him as a kid, putting himself as a kid into the series. Some people have looked at Wesley and Will and Picard as the ages of Gene Roddenberry. And so, you know, yeah, there are some things where it's kind of, some people call him a Mary Sue, and sometimes it's like, yeah, okay, genius Wesley saves the day again, all right, fine. And some of that does get a little irritating, particularly in the early part of the series, but I think ultimately the character is fleshed out really well, and when he leaves the series, you know, it gets me right in the solar plexus. It's, I like Wesley. And I like Will Wheaton. I think he's a fantastic guy.
All right, last question before we get into the book really. All right, you've been beamed up. You're on the Enterprise. Who would you rather serve under? Kirk, Picard, Archer, Sisko, or Janeway?
That is a hard question. Of course, right now... That's how you get the big bucks. You ask the hard questions. I started out as a next gen kid. I'm doing a lot of next gen work right now. So, I mean, I'm probably going to say Picard right now, but Enterprise D is just kind of where I feel most comfortable because that's just where I grew up. But I love Ben, Ben Sisko and Deep Space Nine and all of that. And I have affection for all of the captains, and I have affection for all the series. And it's probably like, as far as captains I feel I would work well with, it's like Picard, then maybe Sisko, then maybe Kirk, and then Janeway and Archer. Probably in that order, in terms of the captains that I would most identify with, get along with. But yeah, I don't know. Archer's an easy guy to like, so it's hard to say.
See, I'm tempted to say Kirk because again, growing up in the original cast series, but I don't see myself jiving with him too much. You know, but Picard seems like a guy I could follow, I could serve under. So I'm gonna have to go with Picard. Mm-hmm. All right, well let's talk about the book.
I feel like I can learn a lot from Sean Luke.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. Okay.
Let's talk about the book. The book is entitled The Gospel According to Star Trek. Now, normally, I don't like that series of books, whether it's The Gospel According to Harry Potter or The Gospel According to whatever. To me, that it seems like too much of a stretch. They start seeing things that I don't think were ever intended to see in the first place. But, you know, just reading parts of your book, I don't see that in your book. You take a different approach. You're not pretending at all that this is some sort of Christian series at all. So talk to us about how you approach the gospel according to Star Trek in your book.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, I was not setting out to write the gospel according to Star Trek. When I went into this, I kind of thought of those books. I mean, I thought, well, okay, those are pretty good books, you know, maybe, you know, some of them are better than others, but I kind of thought it was an overused title trope and I was going to go in another direction. And it was just when I was researching competing titles and I couldn't remember the name of the person who wrote the gospel according to Star Trek. And I'm like, what's wrong with me? Why don't I know this? I got to look it up. And then I found out it didn't exist. And in that moment I was like, it doesn't exist because I haven't written it yet. and I went for it. So it went from something I was denigrating to my calling. And really for me, I just sort of separated myself from the rest of those books in terms of I didn't study them or try to figure out how other people have written them, because there's so many of them and everybody has their own take on it. Right. So I just brought my own voice. And all I'm doing is just putting a Christian worldview perspective in conversation with Star Trek. That was what started all of it, was I came to Star Trek with my Christian worldview lenses on, not separating what I was watching from my faith, but seeing how God could be at work in this and what maybe it could do to inform my faith.
Okay.
And so that's been the beneficial conversation.
All right. Now, we agree that Star Trek is not trying to give the gospel in some sort of subliminal message or some sort of secretive way. It was never intended to do that. In fact, you know, Gene Roddenberry, someone who walked away from his childhood faith. So tell us a little bit about Gene Roddenberry, his theology or his philosophy, and how that shaped the program.
Gene was an interesting cat. I spent probably... I think, you know, in the book, there's a section on Roddenberry.
Right.
And a lot of it is just clearing up a lot of things that people believe about him and some things that have been said about him, some quotes that have been misattributed, things like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's kind of research heavy. It's kind of detail-y. If you don't like that part, skip it. Go on to the rest of the book. But
don't skip that part. That was the most interesting part I read.
Well, it is philosophically, for me, it's very important. That's why I put it up front. But I realize, especially for non-Trekkies, it can be a hard read.
Yeah.
But if you are a Trekkie and if you're interested in that kind of stuff, to me, it was absolutely fascinating. That's why I spent basically a year of my life on that part of the book. And Gene was somebody who grew up born in a point of pride for me as a native Texan. He was born in El Paso, and but as a point of shame, he got out of here as quickly as he could and moved to California. But with his family, but he grew up in this very conservative Southern Baptist home, being born in the 1930s. And a conservative Southern Baptist home in the 1930s is a lot different even than a conservative Southern Baptist home now. And so his view of religion was not a good one. He did not experience life-giving religion. He did not experience a humanity-affirming gospel. He experienced a humanity-squashing gospel. He experienced a life-sucking gospel. And he went away from it. He carried with him the morality and the ethics that he got from his family and from his church. But the rest of it, he just kind of regarded as superstition. However, he couldn't let go of the fact that he saw something more to the universe, that the universe seemed to come from somewhere, that it seemed, and that there seemed to be some sort of inspiration that moved through human beings. And he saw something of what he could only call divine in humans. So he kind of developed his own sort of pantheistic philosophy. Sort of pantheistic theology that was rooted in his humanistic philosophy.
Yeah.
And that's been that understanding that process for me was a really interesting way to get to the philosophical underpinnings of Star Trek.
Now, you mentioned in the book that Star Trek is certainly not a Christian series, and Gene Roddenberry wasn't a Christian. But the book, the series isn't anti-Christian. In fact, you even make the argument that it's very tolerant of religion. And that's one of the criticisms people throw against Gene Roddenberry, is that he was not just an atheist, but just so far out there. Tell us a little bit about that. It's not anti-Christian, but very tolerant of religion in general.
Yeah, religion, particularly manipulative religion, which I think to Gene was the majority, if not all, of what he saw in religion, was what Gene detested.
Yeah,
and
we
didn't
ought to as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something I say in the book, that, I mean, Christians ought to be as concerned about the view of God that Gene reacted against, or the kind of religion that Gene reacted against, as he was. We ought to echo that. We ought not see that as an affront to us because we're religious people or we're Christian people, but rather see that he's noticing things about religion that are damaging, and that should be informative to how we practice and how we live out our faith. But he was not an atheist. That was my argument, is that he was not an atheist. That's one of the things that people assume about him, because he was anti-religious, or disliked religion so much. But at the same time, Star Trek itself, and many statements from him, tolerate religion to a degree. They just say, you know, as long as your religion is life-giving, as long as your religion is humanity-affirming, as long as you're not going out and hurting other people because of your religion, as long as you're not trying to browbeat other people into your religion, fine, have your religion. You know? But the focus, the way his son Rod put it was... God's going to be there, whatever. Let's focus on humanity first. And I think that's a really informative for us as Christians, to recognize that if our focus is not on humanity and on making the world a better place for other people, not just a better place for us to live and practice our faith according to what we want to do, and if we're not doing it, we're missing the point.
Right. Well, we've really only started this conversation, but we've come to an end of this segment, and the clock is just running out. So, Kevin, before we go any further, before we end this, we do have a tradition here at Gospel Points to end off with a random question that has nothing to do with anything we've been talking about whatsoever. So are you ready for some randomness?
I will be so excited if the answer is actually Star Trek, but please go ahead.
The answer is not Star Trek, but I will be judging you by your answer. Okay. Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Okay, good. Good.
Normally no soda at all, but if I was going to choose Coke, yes.
All right. I'll settle for that. Coke is the right answer, by the way.
Good.
So that's good. All right. Well, Kevin, thank you for joining us. Again, the title of the book is The Gospel According to Star Trek. We'll have a link to that on our website. We'll also have a link to your website. Kevin, tell us a little bit about your website as well, because you have more than just this book on there. Tell us a little bit what people can see there.
Yeah, KevinCNeist.com is my main website, and that is going to connect to everything that I do, whether it's Star Trek or not. So I've got the Gospel According to Star Trek series on there. The first book is The Gospel According to Star Trek, The Original Crew. And then I've also got the new book that I just finished editing with my friend Mark Boone, called Science Fiction and the Abolition of Man, Finding C.S. Lewis in Science Fiction, Televisions, and Films. And that's another kind of part of this kind of journey, and a book that I wrote, edited, called Spockology, and some of my magazine articles and other things that I've written are on there. And of course, you can book me as a speaker, and I speak not just on Star Trek, but on our relationship with media and our relationship with culture and faith and all that sort of stuff. Mm. And the Undiscovered Country Project is also on the website. It's also undiscoveredcountryproject.com. That is pure Star Trek.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us. And we'll see you back next week.
And I hope you will join us back next week. We're going to continue our discussion on Star Trek from a Christian worldview. So don't forget to go ahead and buy Kevin's book, The Gospel According to Star Trek, The Original Crew. The Gospel According to Star Trek, The Original Crew. We'll have a link to that on our website, which you can find at www.kevinjthompson.info. Of course, you can check out our main page for the website, our podcast, www.gospelpoints.org. But you also want to follow us on Twitter at Kevin J. Thompson. Go ahead and share this podcast with everybody. Tweet it on Twitter. Post it on Facebook. Send it out on Instagram, Pinterest, Snapchat, whatever it is you use. Get the word out. And, of course, don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Well, get your geek on and join us back next week as we continue our discussion about Star Trek from a Christian worldview.